For some students at New Mexico State University, attending class means visiting a sun-soaked island surrounded by deep waters as their professor sits next to them in the sand. The students have class in this space called Second Life once a week, or at least their avatars do. Now, avatars, as you may know, are digital versions of people. They can walk, talk, run, even fly. Before we introduce their professor, Michael Demers of New Mexico State, I want to tell you that my avatar, which kind of looks like Anderson Cooper in a wetsuit, is running over this island on our website, npr.org. Now, Michael Demers, professor of geography, joins us from his campus. Professor, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you hold classes in what's called Second Life. For those of us who aren't familiar, and I wasn't until I began to read the introduction, what is Second Life? And, you know, isn't First Life hard enough?
Well, sometimes it is. The whole idea is that Second Life is a virtual world, and it started out more as a game than anything, but it has evolved over the years. It's approximately 5 years old now. And what has happened over the years is that people like me have noticed that the students coming into the universities are gamers, and they're familiar with living inside the computer. And so my idea was, if they're in the computer, that's where I need to be as well.
So you've created what amounts to a virtual world on this small island.
Well, I didn't set up the whole island, just so you know.
Yeah.
I set up this classroom space that you see behind you.
Mm-hmm.
The island is owned by
New
Mexico
State. When you say you see behind me, let me explain to our radio audience our first and last responsibility here, that I guess we're probably both looking at screens. And
yes,
looking at an island with sand and mountains and water behind it. And there's a sign in the distance that welcomes me to New Mexico State, or welcomes my avatar. Who's the handsome buck standing in front of me?
That's me. That's Gadget Loon. That's my alter ego.
Your alter ego. So you don't really look like this. This guy looks like Fabio used to look.
Well, I am 6'10" in Second Life.
All right, and you're standing on like a disco dance floor.
Yes, in fact, one of my students is sitting on the dance ball behind you, behind your avatar.
Behind my avatar. I think I can rotate my avatar to take a look, right, if I'm not mistaken? Oh, yes, that's one of your students, right?
That is one of my students, yes.
Excuse me. You must be Anna Patterson, right?
Yes, sir.
Do you need to go to class this way to learn something, as the professor indicated? Is this more fun? Do you learn more?
I find that especially for visual labs, it's actually very helpful, since I'm a more tactile learner than a visual or audio learner. And because it's actually in-game and you can build in here, you can actually do more interaction with what you would than you would necessarily just sitting in a lab looking at different map projections as opposed to creating the different map projections.
Because this Second Life island, this has desert, this has mountains, this has all kinds of topography and geography that you can see, I guess. What's the logic of all these topographical features in the island? And you know, by the way, I mean, when you get to certain areas, you know, you can hear the wind blowing, you can hear the whoosh of the waves, that sort
yes.
of thing.
Yes. It's designed to make you feel like you're in a real environment.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I have that campfire setting over by my slide presenter, and I use that for when I want to sit down and talk about projects and stuff like that.
My avatar is walking towards the campfire.
So you can come over here.
Okay.
And you can sit down and chat, and you can hear the fire crackling, and it literally puts the student at ease.
That's a fire crackling, all right. I'm gonna sit down. I think I'm gonna sit down. Okay,
yep,
there we are, sitting next to each other on a log. So what do we learn by sitting here, you and me, in front of the crack-laden campfire?
Well, it depends on who your audience is and what you're trying to teach.
Yeah.
We have, for example, there are some people who are teaching ballet inside Second Life, and they're literally going through the various motions using their avatars.
Yeah, but teaching your damn avatar how to dance ballet isn't going to get you a job at the Joffrey.
That may be true, but it does teach you all of the various movements, because you have to know the movements in gory detail in order to get them to get an avatar to do what the human body does.
All right. Well,
it's actually much harder to do.
Well, okay. My point is, in the end, have you learned something that's really useful when you've learned something in Second Life?
Oh, I hope so.
Absolutely. One of the things we're finding is that, and you've actually suggested this, we have people who do not know how to interact with each other.
Yeah.
And yet, inside Second Life, they are, in fact, interacting with each other. We're finding, for example, some classes, the students come in fact, my students come in here without my even asking them. They're here, and they're getting together, and they're learning things. They're exchanging information.
They are creating what we call a learning community, and that's really important.
Professor, it's been very good talking to you. I'm very grateful for all of your time, and I'm very grateful for your avatar's time, too.
Thank you.
And if you could thank Anna Patterson and her avatar, too.
I will do that.
Michael Demers is a geography professor at New Mexico State University. You can see a video of Professor Demers' avatar trying to get my avatar a cup of coffee. You can see a picture of Leanne Hansen's avatar, you know, kind of sultry. And you can learn how to make your own avatar, all on our blog, npr.org/soapbox.